Damien Carrick now with the Law Report.
Thanks, Peter. Today, juveniles and the justice system in West Australia. Later, the Perth Children's Court judge accused of being too soft on young offenders. But first, the Broome magistrate, who after sentencing offers incentives to keep offenders out of his court. Last Thursday, an 11-year-old Aboriginal girl, a repeat offender from a troubled family, appeared in the Broome Magistrates Court on charges of car theft. The local magistrate is Belgian-born Antoine Bloemen. In hearing the case, he repeated an offer that he'd made to the girl the last time she appeared before him, that if she stops offending, he and his wife will take her on a European holiday. This is just one such incentive he's offered to kids who appear before him to get them off the criminal justice merry-go-round.
I'm one of those believers that if you send them too quickly to a detention centre, and a detention centre is really a jail. And I thought if I send her there, and I send her for 6 months, she will have much more experience of how to break into my car, how to break into a house, how to do other crimes. I thought now we have to find a different way. I took a break for a short time. I thought about it, and I thought, well, I will breach her of the youth community-based order I put her on, and thereafter I will put her on an intensive youth supervision order. And then I want the young lady to know that there are other ways in life. I want also her to know that not all of us were born with a silver spoon in our hand. And I thought, I'm going to take her on a trip. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take her to a place where I know best, and that is my own little village in Belgium. I then will show her where I was born. The lifestyle we had, and my lifestyle when I was very young, was very tough because it was immediately after the war. I will show her where I committed a few little crimes, like stealing apples, stealing pears. We couldn't do shoplifting because there were no big shops, so we had to steal apples and pears. I will show where I stole a few bicycles. We couldn't steal cars because there were no cars. And I thought that will show also that where there is a will, there is a way, and that there are other ways of life than just crime, jail in, jail out, like a ping pong ball.
So what happened? You made that offer to her and she subsequently appeared before you on other charges.
Well, I made that offer the week before. She then was sent back to Broome. It is my understanding that there was no one really here to receive her when she got here. She met her sister, who has many more offences, and went with her sister and stepped in a car which was stolen, there for the charge. So she came back before me on Thursday, and what I've done today, I have again breached her of the intensive youth supervision order. I've placed her on a new one, and I've told her that my deal with her still stands. I have to add, we have last Thursday with the family services really set up a program that she now has a mentor. She has people who will look after her. She will go to school. In other words, we have given her now about all the opportunities that we can for her to go forward instead of laying around and do nothing. Also, I've made it very clear to her that people do care about her and that people do love her, inclusive myself.
And you've told her that if she doesn't reoffend in a particular amount of time in the future, then you'll take her on that holiday to Belgium.
I've told her that if she doesn't offend for a certain time, that then together with my wife, she will be my guest, like my daughter, and go with us to my little village in Belgium.
This isn't the first time that you've offered incentives or gifts to offenders to stop offending. I understand back in 97 you said to a young 13-year-old boy, be good for 3 months and don't reoffend and I'll buy you a bike. And you did.
I did, and he never came back to court. My understanding now is, and I tried to follow it closely, that he now is employed full-time at a mining company and is doing quite well. What you have to understand, Damien, I am not rewarding crime. I follow the law as I have to. I've taken an oath. And punishment, I don't like the word punishment, but punishment is being given. Thereafter, I'm trying to let the person, particularly the young person, who had never yet, and many people in the eastern states and western Australia don't understand the young people we're dealing with. They never had a dream. And I would not survive without a dream. Today, I dream every day. I also have my feet on the ground. I mean, I'm a strong believer that our heads should be in the clouds, but our feet should touch the ground. In other words, that you stay with reality. But you got to dream in life. You got to have something to look forward to.
Another recipient of Antoine Bloemen's generosity is Paul Tex. Some time back, Tex, an adult, committed multiple driving offences, including driving under the influence and driving without a licence. Magistrate Bloemen decided to put him on bail for 6 months before sentencing. One of the bail conditions was that Tex must report to the Halls Creek Art Centre and create 8 paintings. And out of his own pocket, Bloemen bought Tex the paint and the canvases. The paintings, which I'm told are quite good, now hang in the Broome Court. Tex has only re-offended once in 2 years, a result which Bloemen regards as excellent. Moira Rayner's a lawyer and children's rights advocate who works in both West Australia and Victoria. She says Antoine Bloemen's unconventional approach does raise questions.
What I've read, there are a couple of issues which come up to me fairly strongly. One is, and I need to say it clearly without wishing to be misunderstood, that this fine, good human being happens to be a magistrate, which is a position of great authority in a small community, but it's really a judicial position, or at least quasi-judicial, and it involves applying and interpreting and applying the law in the community. So the issue that comes up for me immediately is the delineation of roles between a magistrate, who is basically a state judicial officer dealing with the complex and community issues, and a person who, as a decent human being, is trying to do something particular for offending children, who's not actually trained in that, is not resourced to do that, and is doing it off his own bat. And it does raise issues for me about whether it's effective, whether it's appropriate, whether he's supported enough, whether he can continue to do it, and whether it's actually going to make a difference in the lives of that particular child or those particular children or the community.
Certainly, he says that there have been cases which have been very successful, and the case of the young boy who stole the bike, he hasn't offended now for many, many years.
I know, and I agree with him in the principle. It's absolutely right that if you give most children a second chance and time and opportunities, they will not continue to offend. But what it says to me is that there are no sentencing alternatives or programs to address alternative ways of dealing with offending children, that it's left to the discretion of an individual magistrate. Let us assume that Mr. Bloemen comes to Perth and is run over by a bus, and we send up Judge Jeffries instead. All the good he's done for those individual children may well live on, but there's been no change in a structure which provides no sentencing or other alternatives to prevent children from offending or reoffending than those which he devises from the bench.
So you're
saying...
That's
another issue too for me, you see. I think it's wonderful he does it, and for some children it's very successful, but it's pure damned good luck that they happen to get this man at this time and he had this idea. When we actually have a lot of criminological evidence that offending children can be prevented from offending or continuing to, they can have what resilience they have preserved if there's a whole range of alternatives before they get anywhere near a courtroom, and there's no evidence that what he's doing is being used as a model, that I'm aware of anyway, to provide these range of programs. It's just him.
Do you have any concerns about a judicial officer, a magistrate, taking on the role of a social worker, a father figure, a psychologist? There do seem to be elements of all those kind of roles in his interaction with some of these young people.
Well, I do think it's a paternal sort of a role he's taken, and for all the right human reasons. But I do see problems in it because of that. You're not actually in an ongoing relationship with these children for their lives, because you are an instrument of the state. You could be moved on at any time. You are just one element at this time, this crisis in their lives. I think the blurring of roles is something that needs to be very carefully thought about, And that's why I think it's so hard for an individual to do this on their own without some risk of slipping into an inappropriate role. Having said that, I'm not actually saying it is inappropriate. I haven't seen it. I've only read about and heard what he's been saying and doing. And I am very much aware from my 32 years of legal practice how often magistrates particularly, you know, get familiar with their clients and form a sort of a slightly different relationship with them because they see them so often and they are part of their community, and I know we're all human. That's why it's so important to be fairly clear about what your role actually is and the limits of what your role can actually be. And if you are seriously trying to use your sentencing discretions and your administrative judicial discretions and running a court and making decisions in a benevolent way, which I do think human beings should do, there nonetheless need to be rules and limits so that we don't spill over from one to another.
Moira Rayner, lawyer and children's rights advocate. Magistrate Blumen rejects the idea that he's entering into some kind of judicial grey zone. He says he's just trying to find constructive ways of dealing with young, mostly Indigenous offenders.
Well, those people know very well that I'm a judicial officer and will always carry myself as a judicial officer. On the other hand, I think there's nothing wrong by showing that you are also a human being and that you understand their background, that you don't approve of it in any way, and let them know that there are other ways in life. I believe, and I may sound a little bit on the upper side here, I believe I've developed a relatively good relationship, respect with the people in the Kimberley and the Pilbara. And I believe that is what counts. Most people appearing before me know that I can just as well be tough and show my teeth as well as show other human matters.
Is that sustainable for somebody like you in that role? I mean,
Well, Damien, I'm an old man of 62 and a half. I got a few years to go. The day that I feel I cannot carry it is the day I will quit. I will not be unfair to the people and become an old grumpy man. I'm not stepping out the role of law, the traditional role in the legal sense. I'm trying to pull forward. I'm trying, if it has to bring it in the present time, not leave it behind. But yes, it is very tiring.
But is there a danger, though, that by taking on this kind of mixed role for the people who appear before you, and if you sort of say to sort of a young person that you're disappointed with them or what have you, if they reoffend, I mean, that will kind of affect them not only on the kind of strict legal basis, but that could kind of affect them emotionally and what have you as well. People might say that you're not necessarily qualified to enter into that wider psychologising of the people who appear before you.
I understand that argument. I don't accept it. I have quite a bit of experience in life, and in my thinking, the most sensible thing in life is common sense. Now, the other point, some of the people I've done that to were at that moment totally lost. There was nothing more to be destroyed. The young person we had now, there's nothing more to be destroyed. All we can do is pull up, not pull down. I'm very carefully that I don't give him or that I don't give him advice in psychology, but I'm trying to show him that the courts are there for the public, for society, but that the courts are also humane.
Can you understand why people listening to this would say you're bribing somebody, you're rewarding them for they're offending? You're saying to them, okay, you've offended and here's a present if you stop offending in the future.
No, Damien, I'm not rewarding them, not at all. Before I tell them what I will or can do, I sentence them. I do the law as I have to in accordance with my oath. But thereafter, if in some cases I say, look, if we do that, so I'm not rewarding them, I'm hanging a carrot before them. But most of us have a carrot hanging before us. I perform or attempt to perform a good job for two reasons. One, it gives me tremendous inner satisfaction. And secondly, I get a reasonable good paycheck. If you take the paycheck away, the carrot there, maybe I wouldn't do it. So we all have a carrot hanging before us. So I'm not rewarding crime in any way. I'm just trying to show them that there are other ways and more rewarding ways. So I'm not bribing at all. I'm trying to say, look, there are different ways. And maybe I'm trying to be a human. And if that is what is wrong, I would really feel sorry for our society.
Broome Magistrate Antoine Bloemen. You're listening to The Law Report on Radio National. I'm Damien Carrick.